your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, hockey fans, happy Monday. You're listening to Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you get 20% off your next order. My name is Sarah Avampato, and I am glad to be back here this week bringing you three exciting guests today as we check in on some big stories around the world of hockey. First up, we head to Pittsburgh, where Sidney Crosby just celebrated his 1,000th game in the NHL. We have Locked On Penguins host Hunter Hodes here to talk about Sid's big achievement. Next up, all the way back on the West Coast, the Ducks are, you know, not doing so hot at the moment. There's plenty of drama, but there is some hope on the horizon. Jason Hernandez from Locked On Ducks joins us today to share the good and the bad news about the Anaheim Ducks. And we close today with Jay Forster from Locked On Blue Jackets as he talks with former professional hockey player and activist Brock McGillis all about his experiences and his passion for advocacy in the sports world. So all of that is coming up today. We're going to start things right now, though, with celebrating Sidney Crosby and 1,000 games played in the NHL. One of the biggest players in the league celebrated a big milestone. Sidney Crosby hit 1,000 games in the National Hockey League. And so today we're talking with Hunter Hodes, host of Locked On Penguins, all about that accomplishment and what exactly is going on with the Penguins at this specific moment in time. So, you know, Sidney Crosby needs no introduction. I think everyone knows exactly how good of a player he is and how much he has meant to Pittsburgh. But I will ask you just what does it mean, I guess, kind of for you personally as someone covering this team to see him reach this milestone and to see so many people step up to, you know, acknowledge and congratulate him?
Yeah, I mean, it means everything, you know, especially to the fans like me who just have grown up with Sidney Crosby. Just, you know, when they first started following the team, you know, he's been here ever since I was 7, 8 years old. I mean, I started following the team about a year or two before that when I was like around 6. But I mean, he's this generation's version of like Mario Lemieux. I didn't get to watch Mario back then just because I wasn't born. And, you know, I've heard all the stories. I've watched all the highlights. People like my mom and my family told me all about it. But, you know, this is stuff that, you know, I'm going to be telling my kids, my grandkids someday about how you should have watched Sidney Crosby in his prime just because of how great he is. Three Stanley Cups obviously need no introduction, but to see Steve Yzerman last night, that's his childhood hero, give him a nice speech about 1,000 games. I mean, that almost brought him to tears. Especially, you know, everyone saw the big gif, I think, from the NHL site, was when Crosby almost got to tears as well, was when Malkin and Letang gave him a nice speech. And, you know, those three came in together. You hope that they're going to go out together, but it was just, they did a wonderful job with that ceremony. I had a thread on my Twitter account going through, I think, my favorite moments from Sidney Crosby with this team so far. My favorite personally being when the 2010 playoffs, when he kind of made Jason Spezza cry behind the net, and then Letang shot it. That was game two of that series, and they tied it up. So many of his baseball goals. Of course, you have the back-to-back Conn Smythes, multiple Hart Trophy, just whatever. He's great. And this city, you're never going to see another Sidney Crosby come through this city. I also saw a great take on Penguins Twitter yesterday. He's going to go down, I think, as the most accomplished player in Penguins history. That says a lot considering what Mario Lemieux has done for this team and, you know, with his two Stanley Cups. He's not going to be the best player that's ever played for the franchise because that is Mario. But like I said, he's definitely the most accomplished player in franchise history. And here's to another 1,000 games from him. You saw Alex Ovechkin congratulate him, Steven Stamkos, Connor McDavid. It means a lot that everyone went out and congratulated him.
Yeah, that really stood out to me because we've seen so many of these 1,000 game ceremonies over the years for players. And this was kind of one of the first ones that I can remember that really had so many rival players also step up and, you know, offer a few words of congratulations. Usually it's, you know, former teammates and, you know, people who have been important to that specific player. But seeing the one from Ovechkin, I was like, all right, this is awesome. You know, just people, you can hate him on the ice, you can hate playing against him, but having so many guys recognize, you know, just how good of a competitor he is and how much he's meant to the Penguins and to the league, really, because, you know, he came into the league at a time where the NHL was struggling. And so he helped Pittsburgh, but he helped, you know, probably the whole league as well. So I really like getting to see that aspect, too, of it wasn't just Penguins guys saying their piece during the ceremony stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And you just, you know, a lot of hockey players are kind of robotic with just, you know, their answers in press conferences and just, you know, post-game media scrums. But, you know, you got to see Crosby not be like a hockey robot per se during that moment, because it just, it brought him to tears almost. You saw that speech from his mom and dad and his sister. I mean, you even got an appearance from his girlfriend, who we haven't really seen in about 4 years. It was a great ceremony. And Sarah, we get to do this all again next year. Evgeny Malkin's going to play his 1,000th game in the NHL next season, if everything goes well. So that's going to be another emotional night for this franchise. But last night was all about Sidney Crosby. Had the two assists and the comeback win against the Islanders. The Penguins sweep that couplet series. And not take anything away with how great it was for Sidney Crosby, but that was a huge win for the Penguins for as it goes for the season.
I can't believe they've both been in the league for now 1,000 and almost 1,000 games. Like, as someone who, you know, is a little older and remembers them coming into the league, the fact that it has been this long and that they are still, despite what some of the people who constantly try to trade Evgeny Malkin say, both still perform at such a high level, I think, you know, really speaks to both of them as athletes. And speaking of trade rumors, because, you know, They are out there. They are always out there, especially with Pittsburgh, especially with the turmoil in the GM office and everything. Where did all of these will Sidney Crosby be a Penguin for life rumors come from? I mean, I feel like that it's just a given. I don't know that anyone on the planet would ever think he's going to get traded. But where did that sort of narrative spring up out of?
I honestly have no idea. I think it was a Darren Dreger report from a couple weeks ago that said, you know, I think he could look great with the Colorado Avalanche playing next to Nathan MacKinnon. You know, it's just, it's some of these people in the Canadian media that I think want to see Sidney Crosby go back to Canada and play for a Canadian team for the last few years of his career. It's pretty bogus. I mean, I've long read, you know, from multiple people that, you know, Mario Lemieux is still pretty upset with the way the Jágr situation unfolded. He's not going to let that happen again, especially when it comes to Sidney Crosby. He will retire a Penguin. If he does not retire a Penguin, I honestly may just stop talking hockey forever, to be honest, because I don't see it happening. He is this franchise, and he's probably going to be with this franchise long after he retires. It would not surprise me if he gets a front office role with Pittsburgh a couple years after he retires. But it's kind of bogus to see these reports about like the trade stuff going on. I mean, I know, of course, Nolan, host of Locked On Red Wings, tried to get everyone in the frenzy with a Sidney Crosby tweet on the Locked On NHL account, had to let him know about, that stuff, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I can only imagine what it would take. You know, you think of iconic players who have switched franchises at the end of their career for one reason or another, and to see him ever leave Pittsburgh just kind of blows my mind that it would ever possibly happen. I mean, there's no chance that they're trading Malkin either, but I feel like if you had to ask me which was more possible, like, that one would be vaguely more possible, I guess.
Yeah, just a little bit. You know, of the three, if you go to Letang, I mean, he's probably the most likely to be traded, even though I think that's kind of unlikely. His play turned around in a big way last night. But, I mean, Crosby and Malkin will retire here forever. You know, like I said, Mario's not going to let one or even both of them leave the organization. He just does not want a repeat of what happened with Jágr and him.
Well, I wish many, many happy, successful games to both of them. The fact that Sidney Crosby has accomplished all he has already, even considering all of the games that he missed due to injury, you know, you can only think about where he would have been if that hadn't happened. But certainly a huge player for the Penguins, and really enjoyed getting to see so many people honor him. For people who want more in-depth Penguins coverage, who want to hear more about the Crosby Malkin era and everything, where can they find you and your show online?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Hunter Hodes, my last name, Hodies. You can follow the Locked On Penguins Twitter account at LO_Penguins. And we have episodes every weekday, And, you know, I love doing the post-game takeaways with the fans. It's honestly one of my favorite segments on the show. So if you have any takeaways from any of the games, please send them my way. And the Penguins will be back in action next week on Tuesday and Thursday against the Capitals before they travel to Long Island again to play the Islanders, because they just can't seem to stop playing these two teams lately.
Thanks to Hunter for joining me. There is more coming up right after this as we talk with Jason Hernandez from Locked on Ducks. We are covering everything you need to know about the NHL, but what about the rest of sports? You can get more of the sports news that you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts a breakdown of the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all of the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. Up next, we take a look at the turmoil with the Anaheim Ducks, who have waived Adam Henrique and created maybe more problems than they necessarily needed to have. Jason Hernandez right now breaks it all down for us on Locked On NHL. There has been some good news and bad news out of Southern California, and that is, of course, the Anaheim Ducks. And we're going to take a look at all that is going on there, because it is maybe a little too much news for just one segment of the show. So, of course, you'll want to listen to Locked on Ducks to get more of it. But right now, to break it all down for everyone, we've got Jason J.D. Hernandez, host of Locked on Ducks and our esteemed Hockey Jeopardy host, here to tell us what's going on with the Ducks. So do you want to start with the good news or the bad news?
Let's start with the bad news, because that came first.
All right.
It's like, what came first, the duck or the egg?
Ooh, so bad news. Basically everything. Ducks not doing particularly well. There's a lot of drama happening. Adam Henrique, who is in the middle of a very large, very long contract, was waived. So what's the elevator pitch, I guess, for what's going on with the Ducks and why everyone is so up in arms about what's going on there?
All right, let's start with Friday. So Friday, the Ducks got slaughtered by the Minnesota Wild, who are not exactly world beaters in that Western division, because the top two teams are obviously the teams that played in Tahoe on Saturday, the Avalanche and the Golden Knights. So Minnesota's kind of a middle-ish team. They come to town and slaughter the Ducks on Friday. Okay, that doesn't look good. The optics look bad. Then Saturday morning comes the hammer that Adam Henrique gets waived, and immediately the antenna go up and everyone says, okay, what the crap is going on? Adam Henrique is in the middle of a 5-year, nearly $27, $28 million contract. He's making $5.8 million per season. This year, he's only scored 4 points. You heard that right. Only 3 goals and 1 assist in a plethora of games. It is a bad look. Probably looks worse for some of the higher ups, especially GM Bob Murray, who insists still that the Ducks are in the middle of a retool, and he will always subscribe to that no matter what. What made things worse was some of the comments made by GM Bob Murray after the waiver first went out. Ducks GM Bob Murray had a very telling quote where he said, quote, "Adam is not alone in this, but I'm tired of talking and waiting. We need results, and difficult decisions must be made," end quote. Yeah, he's lying to the fans. The fans have had enough, and this is very unfortunate, I guess, for me personally, because Ducks fans are either just going to quit or they're just going to check out, which I think is even worse. Because when you're a fan base that is totally checked out, that is not a good look for your team. That is not good for the fan base. That's not good for morale. That kind of stuff gets back to the players, unfortunately. So that quote by Bob Murray, it's a bad look. Yes, there's been the underperforming, and for some reason, Bob Murray legitimately thinks that the team is still somehow going to make the playoffs on paper. That's not happening. He needs to realize that this season was a wash, and the sooner that he realizes this, the better off the Ducks will be in the long term. For him to even maybe consider the Ducks as a playoff candidate is completely BS. Look at the teams in the division. Minnesota, they're a pretty good team. You obviously have Vegas and Colorado. St. Louis is also a very good team. The Ducks are not one of those teams. Even the Kings are an up-and-coming team, because they believed in a full-blown, get everything out, blow it all up, rebuild. And now the Kings are doing much better on their big NHL team. What the Ducks need to do is rely more on their youth, which they're trying to develop down in San Diego. And look how good the Gulls are doing. they have a near perfect record going after this weekend. They've only lost one game. So when you talk about the optics of who's going to come up, who's not going to come up, Adam Henrique is going to go down. It was just confirmed that Adam Henrique is going to officially be on the taxi squad. How do you feel as a Ducks fan if you have a near $6 million player on your taxi squad? He's got to be the most expensive taxi squad player in the entire National Hockey League, and it is a bad look. This is not all on Henrique. This is partially on GM Bob Murray. He pissed Henrique off a couple weeks ago when the scratch happened and Adam Henrique's long streak ended. That already pissed him off. He was already upset. Then you pull this crap. It looks even worse. So it just goes from bad to worse in a matter of 2 weeks. So as Adam Henrique stays with the Ducks for now, he's going to stay there as a very disgruntled player. And that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it seems like a tough situation. And like you said, especially comparing it with the Kings, which, of course, you and I both know very well, that have just, you know, have been honest about the fact that, listen, it's going to be tough. We're not going to make the playoffs. It's going to be bad. Please stick with us. Yeah. And we promise it's going to be worth it. And to see, you know, it looks like the leadership of the Ducks, the front office leadership, try to sell fans on this being a playoff team when it doesn't even feel like the players buy it, has got to be just a really, really tough situation, I think, for everyone to be in.
Oh, especially this season. Just be honest. This was not the year to try to retool. This was the year to rebuild and build towards next season. So this is completely not it. And yes, it did get worse Saturday night after the Ducks got pummeled again by Minnesota 5-1. And that was just a poor effort on everybody's parts. You could see the exasperated look on John Gibson's face as if to say, what next? What can possibly be worse than what just happened? That was probably the rock bottom moment for the Ducks, is they just left the ice feeling completely dejected in every possible way. That was the rock bottom.
So I'm sure it's hard to pinpoint exactly what is going wrong with the Ducks, but obviously Adam Henrique is not the problem or the only problem.
Not the only problem. He hasn't been good.
Yeah. If you had to pick, like, what's your top three things that are not working with the Ducks that are putting them in this situation that they're in?
Number one, their top two lines have been underperforming. Adam Henrique is part of one of those lines. Even Ryan Getzlaf, he's been underperforming. He's only scored one goal this season. That's it. Only one goal. Even upper players like Jakob Silfverberg, he's been underperforming this season. He's making $5.25 million. David Backes, who is the other cautionary tale, by the way, who was in the same situation in Boston. And look what's happened to Backes now. He's here on the Ducks on a quote-unquote discount, and he's underperforming. Rickard Rakell has been doing well, along with Isaac Lundstrom and Max Comtois. The third line's been okay. The poor fourth line has been getting run out there by the first line on the opposition, which leads to thing number two, the coaching. For Coach Eakins to put his fourth line up against opponents' first lines is probably not the best idea in the long run. It might work for a period or for a few shifts, but overall, that's not the way to win games, and that's why you see all these top lines scoring on the Ducks, and it tires off the defense, which leads to thing number three. The defense is completely tired and depleted, by the way. Cam Fowler is still there. He's trying his best. Hampus Lindholm, he's out with an injury as of right now, so he can't do anything. Kevin Shattenkirk has been severely underperforming this season, and that $3.9 million is looking like an albatross for the next three seasons. And for some reason, the Ducks believe that Jacob Larson is still a better player than Josh Mahura. Mahura did make his season debut on Saturday and did score his first goal of the season. But there are better players to have up. I mean, you choose Jacob Larson over Josh Mahura or Yanni Hakanpää the whole time, that's where you know there's a problem with the higher-ups, too, is choosing the, I guess, incorrect defenseman is the best way to put it.
So that is all a pretty rough picture, but yeah, there is a bright spot at the maybe not end of the tunnel, but like
the, like, when you go through a tunnel and there's like a random door off of the side, like that's kind of where the light's coming from. And that is Trevor Zegras, who is looking to make his NHL debut pretty soon. For anyone who somehow has missed out on the Trevor Zegras hype train, who isn't sure how well he has been doing already, who, unlike me, like, is, like, you know, I'm excited to not see him beat up on my AHL team for a while. What's the Trevor Zegras story, and how do you think he's going to fit in right away on the Ducks?
Well, I mean, I've annoyed our sincere host, Sarah Avampado, about this because it's her rival team, but Trevor Zegras has been the real deal for the San Diego Gulls this season. He was, I say this now past tense, was leading the AHL in points because that will not last. The rumor is that Trevor Zegras will be in the lineup tonight, Monday, against the Arizona Coyotes. He will make his debut at Gila River Arena. That's going to be amazing. This has been a long time coming. Ducks fans have been clamoring for his debut for weeks now, saying he should have been on the roster right away. The only problem, if there's maybe a little teensy problem this poses, if Zegras does well his first few games, do they keep him up the whole time and get rid of that year of eligibility? Trevor Zegras is on an entry-level contract, and he is under 20 years old. If he plays more than a handful of games, this is his first season of the contract coming into play. If you're the Ducks, you kind of have to figure, do you want this to happen now and try to do something, or do you want to retain that team control for another season? But the Gulls aren't playing for the next few days. There's a 2-game road trip. May as well, right?
There's no better time than now. And if he does really well, like, that's a great problem for the Ducks to have. And like I said, I'm glad that I won't have to see him play against either my AHL or NHL team, at least for a little bit, so he can do as well as he wants right now. I'll be glad for him, and I'll be glad it won't be my problem. But I'm hoping he does well. He is a really exciting player, despite the fact that he is a rival of mine, and could just be the spark that the Ducks need to maybe pull out of whatever tailspin that they're in right now.
It's a massive tailspin right now.
So for people who want to share their love of Trevor Zegras, who want to learn more about the Ducks, who maybe want to find out what it would take to make a deal to get Adam Henrique for some reason, where can they find you and your show online?
They can find my personal Twitter at StimpyJD. The show's Twitter is at @LO_Ducks. The podcast is called Locked On Anaheim Ducks, which can be found on any podcasting service out there. We talk about Trevor Zegras on Monday's show, and we'll continue talking about him for the foreseeable future as long as he is up with the Ducks, because that's what the fans want. Let's face it, the fans want to hear more about Trevor Zegras the whole time. And also, we could talk about the fact that the Ducks are kind of in a weird spot right now. Where do they go from here? Tune into Locked On Anaheim Ducks to find out.
Thanks to Jason for chatting with me all about what is going on with his team. Up next, we've got Brock McGillis chatting with Locked On Blue Jackets host Jay Forster. But first, I want to tell you about Built Bar, because they are delicious. If you have not quite heard yet what a Built Bar is, they are the best tasting protein bar that is out there on the market. They come in a ton of amazing flavors. My own personal favorite is cookies and cream, although a runner up is the coconut brownie bit version that they did a limited edition of, which I was not expecting to love as much as I did, but it was really good. The great thing about Built Bar, the frustrating thing maybe about Built Bar, is they have lots of flavors that are only out there for a very short amount of time. So much like concert tickets, where you have to be at your computer right at the right time, or you need to subscribe to like 14 different mailing lists or whatever, you might want to do that with Built Bar too, so you don't miss any special flavors that come along. They are good for you, most important of all, because it's always nice to know that you're eating a snack that is also good for your body. They're low in sugar, high in fiber, high in protein, and just, again, all around delicious. If you go to BuiltBar.com right now, you can go check it out and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Now, of course, sports betting is the big new thing online, and BetOnline.ag is basically the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. football might be over for now, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are all in full swing, and BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, reality TV, and many other, you know, cool things out there. You can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine, and BetOnline, of course, has you covered for all the news, sports scores, and odds. It is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use the promo code LOCKEDON on betonline.ag to get that deal, 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. You can get the upper hand in your fantasy league with daily fantasy hockey advice from Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Our expert Scott Cullen gives you the tips, insights, and analysis for season-long Dynasty and DFS leagues, breaking down all the stats and information to keep you ahead of the competition. Subscribe to the Locked On Fantasy podcast wherever you get your podcasts. To close out our show today, we've got Jay Forster from Locked On Blue Jackets talking with former professional hockey player, former OHL player, Brock McGillis, who is an LGBT advocate, professional speaker, and just all-around good guy. Jay talked to Brock as part of a project for Sports Media LGBT, which is covering LGBT History Month, so there will also be a really great article accompanying this interview. Jay sat down to get a little bit of Brock's perspective on the current state of the NHL and the hockey world. Just a heads up to all of you out there who are listening, it can be a tough listen at some times, and there is content in relation to substance abuse, substance addiction, and suicide. So if those are triggers for you, or if those are things that you know are going to be a difficult listen for you, please just proceed with caution, and most importantly, keep yourself safe, and this conversation will be here for you later if you are not up for it right now. But with that said, let's go right now to hear from Jay and Brock McGillis.
So when did you kind of first realize that you were gay? Were you still playing hockey at this point?
Yeah, I was like 7 or 8 years old. And I was watching a movie with my parents. And based off the timing of it, I would assume it was maybe Philadelphia or something like that. And they were watching a movie and I stayed up late and was just there. And there's a gay character, and I said to them, like, what if I'm gay? And if you're gay, you're gay. You're Brock. We love you. And I went to my bedroom and cried. And I think at that point I knew. But that, you know, because I was so in love with hockey and I was so young, I didn't really think about it. And I sort of suppressed it. It was in the back of my mind. And as I got a little older and I was so immersed in hockey and hockey culture, I didn't really think about it or care about it. But I also knew that I didn't really comprehend fully what was being spoken about in the locker room. And when players, when we hit puberty in teenage years, talking about women and you know, attraction and whatnot, I didn't feel the same way. So that's ultimately when I first recognized it. But I also felt that I couldn't be gay and play hockey. So I dated women. And I felt like I needed to conform to the hypermasculine hockey culture and be this womanizing hockey bro in order to play the sport I love and be a professional hockey player. So from a very young age, I conformed fully to that.
Was there a point at which you realized that there was just too big a divide between hockey and being gay, and you had to like make that decision and ultimately choose like your well-being over hockey yourself?
Well, my career was like, I was supposed to have this linear path to the NHL. I was ranked really high as a kid, going into major junior, the OHL. And I was ranked on NHL draft lists in the OHL, but I was constantly injured. From the age of 15 until I retired in my late 20s, I had a season-ending injury every year.
Right.
I have, you know, some major, major injuries head to toe. And I don't think it's a coincidence that I was struggling immensely And there was so much, you know, psychological trauma at that point that, you know, my body was failing on me. By the time I was in the OHL, I was trying to suppress and numb, as I mentioned before, and not deal with the fact that I was gay and I dated women, but I was suppressing it by drinking daily. I was incredibly depressed. I've had an anxiety disorder since the age of 6 or 7. So I was having a ton of panic attacks. I was depressed. I wasn't sleeping. I drank every day from the age of 17 or 18 until I was 23. And that was my numbing mechanism. That was my coping agent that, you know, made me not feel. And I was suicidal, and on more than one occurrence, I tried to take my own life. And fortunately, I'm alive today. But it took its toll. And then finally, at about 23 years old, I was living in Europe. I was playing in the Dutch, top Dutch league. And I was sitting there and I was like, you know, like, no offense to the top Dutch league, but it's not where I was supposed to be at that point in my hockey career. So I was sitting there and I remember just one day I sat myself down and I just said, listen, one of two things is going to happen. One or both of these things could happen. Number one, my career was ending. You know, the reality was it was going to be a long road back to try and make the NHL from where I'd been and where I currently was playing. And I thought, you know, like, this career is going to end if I don't figure out who I am and get my shit together. And two, and more importantly, if I don't figure this out, I'm likely to end up dead. You can't drink every day for 5-6 years. You can't, you know, have these constant injuries and body traumas and then have this, you know, these mental health crises and survive much longer. So this season ended. I came back to Canada and actually went to Toronto and went on a date with a guy. And I ended up dating him for 3 years. And then years later, after a lot more struggle and a lot of self-discovery, I was going to play professionally in the US. This is when I retired. And I drove to the border in Windsor to cross over to Michigan to go drive down into the US to play. I got to the border and I started an 8-hour drive to the border and I started thinking about all the injuries. I started thinking about hiding who I was for so long. And I got there and I was in the office about to fill out paperwork for my visa. And I said, no, I can't. I'm done. And it was a Canadian Thanksgiving weekend and I turned the car around and I drove to Toronto and I went to the gay village. And I spent the weekend celebrating me with, because I had gay friends there and it was so separate from my other life that was the moment for me initially where I just said, no, like, I'm putting me first. I'm not doing this anymore. And I didn't feel like I could be both. And that was probably the first moment where I said, yeah, I'm putting myself first and who I am above the sport. So initially I thought, okay, great. But then I moved back to Sudbury after that and I started working with athletes and I ran 3 businesses up there doing off-ice training, on-ice skill development, and then goalie training. And I hid my sexuality from everyone there because it's like this small town mentality, blue collar community. And I'm working with, you know, youth athletes, and I didn't want any of the parents to know I was gay. And I came to find out, I thought I hit it for about 4 years. And then I came to find out a hockey mom called me one day and wanted to set me up on a date. And I said, what's her name? And she said, Steve. And I came to find out that 100 or so players knew I was gay and chose to work with me.
Can you talk a little bit about your experience playing in the OHL? What was it like playing there as someone closeted? And was there ever a point when you were in the OHL where you thought maybe you could kind of come out to anyone there?
No. I don't think there's any point that I could come out. And I think, you know, I don't think there's a point where anyone can come out today. And which is why we haven't seen a player come out. You know, I think hockey culture, from minor hockey through major junior to the NHL, is incredibly toxic. There's a lot of use of homophobic and sexist language by everybody in an attempt to, I think there's this ideal of hypermasculinity within the culture, that you have to be this macho bro guy, man who, you know, parties hard, plays hard, has lots of women and all of this. And if you're not that, you're less than. If you don't conform fully to the culture, you might as well be the fag. And they put people down by either using sexist language. They're saying that a man is up here and a woman or somebody who's gay is less than. They don't have that hyper masculinity to them. And if you don't conform fully, you're less than. You know, and obviously there's also racism involved, and I don't want to minimize that at all, but I think that's typically towards one select group, which is, you know, BIPOC people. Whereas I think all collectively use that homophobic and sexist language, regardless of their race, you know. So I think everyone typically uses that. There's obviously the odd one that probably doesn't, but for the most part, all do. So on a daily basis, whether it's being directed at you or not, you're hearing people being called a fag, you're hearing people being called a bitch or a pussy, and you're sitting there and you're like, I can't be me. I can't be me, because who I am is hated here.
Thank you to everyone who joined the show today. Go make sure you're following all those great folks on social media, subscribing to their podcasts, and all of that awesome stuff. We'll be back tomorrow here on Locked On NHL with more hockey news, updates, fun facts, and more. Until then, this show is available on Twitter at Locked On NHL Pods. Give it a follow so you never miss A, another episode of the show, or B, any of the cool things that are happening across the network. Subscribe to the show if you haven't already. If it's your first time here, I'm really glad you're here, and make sure you subscribe so you get to come back tomorrow as well. Leave a rating or a review if you're enjoying what you're hearing. Tell your friends all about it and come back tomorrow and every other day this week for more hockey content here on Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.